About a month ago, when I introduced Ian Hay, 5775, Pauline sent me this photograph that night and said, "I'm a visual learner. This helps me understand. There's a storm coming, but very few of us are prepared for that storm." This is the year 5775 in the Hebraic calendar. It's a month old now. The first of Tishri was 30 days ago. Some people say that 5775 is double completion surrounded by grace. Some people say that it's double covenant and double grace. All of that is true. But we want to look a little bit more about the Hebraic meanings of this year. This is the year of the whirlwind and the whirlwinds. The letter He represents the power of being. It's the essence of our life, essentially. The ancient Hebrews expressed themselves through the planting of the land. You could tell when someone was just interested in staying for a short time, they planted a garden. But someone who thought generationally, like Abraham, planted trees. Genesis tells us that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree and called upon the everlasting God. Am I blocking your view? Do you want me to move the stands? See, people express themselves from the giving of themselves and what they give. That's your seed. Now I can see. The ancient Hebrew symbol for hay, you have the modern Hebrew picture there, was that of a window lattice. Now they didn't have glass panes in their windows, they just had the lattices. And it was literally the sound of the wind rushing through the window lattice. So when they spoke of the letter hay, that's what they envisioned. I envision a mild summer day and the curtains just blowing as the wind comes through the window. Some of the hay words in Scripture are wind, sound, breath, word, spirit, and revelation. Those are all words that will have importance for us this year. Hey words also include to rage, to destroy, to not knock over the clarinets, to crush, to vex, to trouble, to overflow, calamity, tumult, and war. Does that sound like the world this year? Remember, every Hebrew letter has both positive and negative connotations, and so it allows us to be wise in hearing and discerning what Holy Spirit is saying to us. By the way, these are all whirlwinds. Some hay words include the names of several kings in the Scripture, like the kings of the Canaanites and the kings of Syria. The book of Esther mentions the nation India twice, so perhaps we want to watch what happens with India this year. There's revival breaking out in India. The Chaldee word Hodu is a hay word that means India. Hay words that will be key for us to get through this year, and what our worship was all about at the beginning in the prayer time tonight are sleep, quiet, tranquil, and rest. Not exactly what you think of when you think of a whirlwind. But the Lord is literally calling us in this year of the whirlwinds to be intimate with Him and to a place where we will embrace His rest. The book of Hebrews tells us that The Israelites wandered in the wilderness because they refused to enter the rest that he had for them. You know, God has a rest for you. He has a rest for all of us. And he calls us to that place close to him to rest. And we have to choose. The book of Hebrews said, but they wanted none of it. They chose not to enter into the rest of the Lord. So do you remember 5764? Just 10 short years ago? The year of Samech Hay? Samech was the symbol. The letter Samech was the symbol of the whirlwinds. We had more hurricanes in 2004, 2005 than any other year in recorded history. They ran out of alphabetical names and had to start going into numeric names for the hurricanes. There were so many, including Hurricane Katrina. Doesn't seem like it was a decade ago that it devastated Louisiana. But see, this year, 5775, is different. We're supposed to get into the eye of that storm. That place where there is no whirlwind. On our way to Nigeria, our plane fell 20 feet as we flew through the outside wall of a whirlwind. Whirlwinds have been sweeping all over the world since Tishri 1, since September 24th, the start of this year. Malaysia had three whirlwinds. They never have hurricanes, they never have typhoons, they never have earthquakes, they never have anything. But in the last 30 days, East Malaysia, which is where we go, the island of Borneo, has had three. And everyone is wondering, one of them was so strong that it made the headline news in their newspaper over there. Everyone was wondering what was happening. I think God's trying to get our attention. See, we're supposed to rest in the eye of that storm. Too many of us have been caught up in the wind. And that's what our worship in the prayer time was tonight, was a place just open. Yeah, we had to fight the wind to get in, but then it was just his call and exhortation to us to rest in his presence and to draw closer to him. This is a year to embrace the sound of the whirlwinds of heaven. A friend of ours in Canandaigua made that. It's Casey and I flagging at the conference in Texas. She said, every time I watched you, I saw the whirlwinds in your flags. And that was the picture. That's a harvest field that she has us dancing on. See, the whirlwind is going to do a couple of things. It's going to remove the chaff from our lives. As I fight to get into his presence, I've got to leave that stuff behind. Those things that Chesbon says I should forget and forgive. Because if I don't, I will continue to battle the whirlwinds and I won't get into the eye. And I won't hear the sound of heaven so I can enter into his rest. Nahum 1 verse 3 says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. Whirlwinds are used multiple times in Scripture. But his way is in the whirlwind and in the storm. In Job chapters 37 through 41, Elihu got caught up in seeing the storm, saw the whirlwind coming, and used it as even more to say that God's judgment was coming upon Job. But Job entered into the presence of the Lord, and he stood and he received great revelation about who God is. Some of the greatest revelation of God, the Father, is in Job 38, 39, 40, and 41. God the Creator, God the Power. See, when I get into that place where I don't get caught up in the swirling winds of all the issues, yeah, I have to deal with my issues. But I come into that place of intimacy with Him, I'm in that place where the portal of Revelation opens. Just like the book of Revelation chapter 4 said that the door opened in heaven and a voice says to us, come up here. So some hey words, sarah, means a tempest, a storm, or whirlwinds. We can expect to see those this year even more than what has been seen. They've seen storms in Ireland. They've seen storms in states that don't ever have windstorms. Father will use nature to try and get us back to focus on him. See, if I will worship now, when that whirlwind comes close to me, it can swirl around me, but I can press through that narrow place into his presence. Too many of us are going to try and wait until the storm comes and then throw up a Hail Mary prayer, hoping someone will catch it. The key is to prepare ourselves now. That's what he's been speaking for the last 4 years. See, this is a year for faith. Can you believe God for things? Can you believe him for big things? Can you believe him to be God? Almost every one of you said yes, but do we? If we believe him to be God, then we can ask him to be king of this nation, to be king of my home, to be king of my heart. That means I've got to die to myself. I don't know about you, but I have some days where my flesh is still kicking and screaming. Just ask Casey, she'll tell you. See, Psalm 91 is really where we are at. This year is all about getting into his presence and abiding there, under the shelter of the shadow of his wings, so that the pestilence and the enemies can't get to you. Let them deal with the whirlwind. See, if I'm resting in his presence, that whirlwind is a protective hedge around me. See, if I will love God and I will trust in him and know him intimately, then I can hear him whisper in the midst of the storm. And oftentimes I'm not willing to listen to the whisper because I'm so caught up with the storm. It was in the year of Psalmic Hay that Casey and I went on vacation with some friends to a condo on Orange Beach after Hurricane Katrina had come through. And in the middle of the night, the winds were blowing and a tornado struck. And the furniture on the patio was pretty heavy. We were on the third story of this condominium. And we were in a back room and they woke us up and said, you know, we got to do this. They had the TV on and they had closed all the roads because the flooding had closed the roads, so there was no sense trying to go anywhere. And the wind had lifted some of the patio furniture off and it was down in the swimming pool. And so Casey and our friends were in the living room just trying to decide what to do as they watched the news tell us how bad it was outside. And they said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going back to bed. That's what Jesus did. See, if we know in the midst of the storm the authority that we've got, the storm that we were experiencing was not the full brunt of it. It was just the flooding and the winds. We can go back and we can rest. And they said, you're kidding me. And I said, no, he's my hero. And he went and laid down in the boat and took a nap. And he rebuked the storm. Well, the next day was the most spectacular day on the beach. If you wanted to get any kind of seafood, you could just go pick it up off the beach because the waves had just brought it all in. And the porpoises were just right in close to the shore because that's where all the little fishes had come. So we got the most spectacular display of nature. Now, if we had decided to try and cut our vacation short and leave, we would have missed the best part of the day. See, if I learn to live in the eye of the storm and draw close to God and lay hold of his promises, then other people can be impacted by you and me for his kingdom glory. But if I get so caught up in the storm, just like everybody running around, where are they going to find the hope of glory? So here are some names that we should watch this year. Yehoshua is Joshua. Let me tell you, you are going to face many battles this year. Joshua was not afraid to face the battle because he knew that in facing the battle, he would become an overcomer. Jesus told us, blessed are those who overcome. Those who overcome inherit this. Those who overcome inherit that. Overcome in your battles and receive the blessings. Another is Hadassah. We know her as Esther. See, the enemy may come in, but God has the power to overthrow every one of your enemies. Hadassah means the myrtle. I don't know if you know what myrtle is, but it's a very fragrant, very pretty flower. We know Hadassah is Esther. Another name to watch out for is Haman. Watch out for the Amalekites this year. The Amalekites were the ones that always tried to pick off the stragglers, always tried to pick off the weak, always tried to pick off the infirmed. It's one of the reasons why God told Saul that they should destroy completely the Amalekites, and he didn't, and for generations they have continued to work that way. So the caution for us is don't isolate yourself. Don't let the enemy pull you away from fellowship, because that sets you up for the attack of the Amalekites. See, the promise is in your seed. Father is always looking at the generations. And we can tell whether someone is kingdom-minded or not by whether or not they are thinking generationally. When I was a child, I thought only about myself. I just wanted to go dig a fort in the dirt and have dirt bomb wars with my brothers. I didn't think about anything. And as a young man, I didn't think about anything but having a good time. But God's looking for people who will think generationally so that the next generation is always going further, faster, going beyond where we are. See, he had this in mind when he called a moon worshiper out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abram means highest father. He called his wife Sarahi to go with him and to leave where they were and to follow him, to trust him. Her name means dominative. See, he gave them a promise, but without the breath of God, they were barren. They couldn't get to that promise. But when he renamed him, he put the breath of God, hey, into Abraham. And he said, you are now a father of a multitude, father of many nations. And when he renamed Sarah, he put hey, the breath of God, the essence of God, into her. Sarah means the prince breathed. At age 87, Abraham, now with the promise of God, conceived through Hagar, who also had the breath of God, but she was the Egyptian servant. and bore Ishmael. We all know that. At age 100, Sarah, the one on whom the prince breathed, bore Isaac, the son of the promise. But at age 137 and increasing, Keturah, also with the breath of God in her, which literally means perfumed incense or extravagant worship, she bore Abraham 6 sons. See, without the breath of God, none of us lives. And without the breath of God, none of us can create. But with the breath of God, he had 8 sons, which is the number of a new beginning. Isaac and Ishmael each became the father of 12 nations. That's 24. There's at least 30 nations when you look at the 6 sons of Keturah, and they all had sons who became mighty nations. When Father gives you a promise and breathes on you, that is when you're activated. The disciples never were born again until Jesus breathed on them after his resurrection. John tells us, he says, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The breath of God is very important for us this year to walk into our promises. But we have to worship over our seed. In 2 Chronicles 23:30, they said they are to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. You can do that without singing. We do that every day. We thank the Lord for our children and our grandchildren. We thank the Lord for you by name. We thank the Lord for everything that he has entrusted to us, all of the things that he's asked us to steward. So as he increases your sphere of influence, you know what that means? When he gives you promotions, now you get to thank him for more. You get to worship him for more. Another hey word is halal. It is the highest praise. It is to be boastful, to praise, and to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's where we get the word hallelujah from. In Revelation 19, verses 1 through 6, hallelujah means unrestrained praise. I know some of you get embarrassed when I cast off my restraints. But he wants us to be clamorously foolish. That's the description of David dancing before the Lord. He wants us to so delight in him that our praise will cause heaven to move in the earth. Because your praise releases your dance, and your dance releases the angels. And this is a year of war. It's a decade of war. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to war without my angels. So what is the sound that you are hearing? See, you must know what kingdom you are in. You may live in the world, but if you love Christ, you're not of the world. In Isaiah 14, 12, we see that another hey word is Lucifer, the morning star. I think we need to be aware this year that the enemy is going to try and knock you off the path to your destiny. But God is so good. There's another name. It means Jehovah saved. It's the word Yeshua. It is a hey word. Everything that Lucifer, now called Satan, tried to counterfeit, Jesus has taken back, and he's placed it in your and my hands to steward. That's why he said in Luke 10:19 that you can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. This year, it's particularly important that you learn to dance on the head of your enemies. So Ayin Hey is a year for the windows of heaven to open, so that the winds will be released from heaven to release the sound of heaven to permeate your land. I don't know about you, but I need heaven to permeate the things that God's entrusted to me to steward. Because I want to see them increase a hundredfold, just like Isaac did in the year of the famine. He took his seed and he planted it when everyone else was hoarding their seed. And the scripture said he was blessed with a hundredfold return because he trusted God. The whirlwind to heaven is God breaking into history to strengthen and to rescue his people. What he is doing with the whirlwind is, don't let it distract you. Let it draw you closer to him. The world's going to get distracted by all the headlines of winds swirling all over the place. But it's meant for us to draw closer to him so that he can come in and strengthen us and rescue us. I don't know what she's doing. Well, I know what she's doing, but I don't know what she's doing. So let me ask you a question. What are you beholding? She's beholding something, unaware of the storm that's coming. There's a word that I think this year is particularly important. It is hey, nun, hey. Nun is the 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It just happens to be the letter associated with the month of Chesbon that we're in. Hey, nun, hey could be 5, 7 plus 7, 5. 14 is 7 plus 7. Hey, nun, hey could be the word for this year. See, nun also has a numerical value. It's the numerical value of 50, which means emergence or jubilee. 14 is a number of deliverance. So in this year of 5775, remember last year we were in the year that was deliverance, but this year continues Hebraically until Passover of next year. So we still have time to let the Lord do the work of deliverance in our lives so that we can fully enter into the joy of Jubilee. So what does hey, nun, hey mean? The word is, hene. It didn't pick up one character. It means behold. Of the 1,049 times that hene is used in the Old Testament, 938 of them it's translated as behold. Conceptually, hene means here am I. Behold, Lord, I see what you're doing, here am I. Behold, here am I, Lord, I see the storm coming, where are you taking me? Behold, 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 behold the glory of the Lord. Now, I know it's in Greek, but they didn't speak it in Greek when they said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist spoke it in Chaldee. So let me ask you another question. Who are you beholding this year? Are your eyes on the one who can create or stop the storm? Are your eyes on whatever you want to call them, Uncle Sam? Are your eyes on your employer? Are your eyes on your retirement funds? Are your eyes on the issues of life? Who are you beholding? See, there is a storm coming, and there are many people who are not prepared for it. But you should be fishers of men. You should be so prepared that when the storm comes, you have that extra loaf of bread that will feed 50 people. Oh, that's impossible. Not with your God, it's not. You have the extra box of spaghetti, 1 pound, that will feed 800 little kids. I'm talking about things that have happened in the earth already. Because their eyes were on the King of Glory. And when the storm came, when he said, what's in your hand, just like he did to the disciples when he fed the 5,000, what's in your hand? Is it the hope and the promise that there's someone greater than the whirlwind? See, this year, the Lord is going to separate darkness even more from the light. And you are going to begin to shine so brightly that if you will not compromise, people will be drawn to the light of the hope of glory in you. I like the fire whirlwinds, because that's what we sang about tonight. Let the Holy Spirit ignite a fire in us. See, these winds this year are going to form suddenly, and they're going to expose or destroy the enemy. When the wind comes, look for the action of God to thwart the enemy. Too often we get caught up in the headline of the wind, and we don't see the reality behind it. For example, in the 30-day war that was fought in Israel a few months ago, the Lord was answering prayers that every hidden plot and scheme against Israel would be exposed and thwarted. The news made a little bit of story about the tunnels, but all of those tunnels were a plot of the terrorists to enter into Israel at Rosh Hashanah, September 24th, the first of Tishri, the start of this year. All of those tunnels were prepared for terrorists to come in and completely ransack Israel. But God exposed them, thwarted them, and closed them down. So much so that a group of pastors, one from every state in the United States, went over during the war, during one of the 30-hour ceasefires, and they were able to get within 5 miles of the Gaza Strip and say that the church in the United States was standing with Israel. And then they were able to leave, and then the ceasefire abruptly ended. So who are you going to trust when these winds come up? This year, the windows of heaven are going to open for revelation. Some of you have been saying, well, I don't hear from God. Well, I've got news for you. If you will worship, you will hear from God. Because my Bible says he inhabits your praise. And so if I'm truly worshiping from my heart, the creator of all the universe, he will inhabit my praise and he will speak to us. But if I'm worshiping to have a good service or to make a nice sound, I'm probably not going to hear the Lord. You can worship just by telling God how great he is, by rehearsing the scriptures that you've stored up in your heart and speaking them back to him. That's meditation. This year is the year of the conscience. The Lord's going to deal with many of us this year, and the answer is repent. He's already told us the way to deal with things. He's right. We're not. I learned that. I'm a slow learner, but I've learned that. See, if I don't repent, I'm going to be back in Samech Hay, 57, 64, and 65, where that whirlwind is swirling and we were looking for a way out, versus pressing through an iron hay and getting into the eye, the presence of the Lord. If I don't repent of the issues and you don't repent of the issues that he's dealing with your conscience, you're going to be caught up in the storm and you're going to have to go around again. Now let me just tell you that biblically means that may be another 40 years. I'm ready to stop and get into the eye of the storm. This year, there's going to be worldwide enemies that try to surround, to encroach, and to besiege. So when you see that, know that that is not Father's plan, but that is the plan of the enemy. He's already exposed it. He's already prophetically told us to look for these things. And so that we know how to pray. He said that he wants us to enlarge our borders. Not be besieged, not to be encroached, not to be surrounded. We're supposed to surround our enemies. Well, how can you do that? I got news for you. It says where two or more are gathered in his name, you got legions of angels on your side. If you need to, pray the prayer that Elisha prayed for his servant. Lord, open their eyes so that they can see those that are with them. And his servant looked, and the hills were surrounded with fiery angels. So we're in the year of 5775. We're in the year where the Lord wants to take us closer to him, individually and collectively. There is a remnant that he is drawing closer to him. You can be a part of that remnant. It's all an issue right here. It's not an issue with my mind. It's an issue with my heart. This is the year that he wants to take us to the place of intimacy with him, so that whatever's swirling around you doesn't take you off the path he has for you. Amen? Father, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, that you would give us a fresh measure of your presence in wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, you said that if we ask, you would fill us. I ask you to fill each of us with fuller measures of your Spirit, with the Spirit of the Lord, with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, with the Spirit of counsel and strength, with the Spirit of knowledge. And I especially ask that you would give us fresh measures daily of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Lord, that holy, righteous fear would come upon us, and we would no longer fear your enemies, but we would stand when we see them enter into the earth realm, and we would see you rout them according to your word. Lord, we thank you that you have given us authority and that you have given us victory. And I say that each of my brothers and sisters who is cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and clings to the testimony of Jesus has the overcoming power of your cross. Lord, use them this year to not only press through the whirlwind, but to gather a harvest for your glory. And Lord, we ask collectively now that as Lisa sleeps, you would breathe on her with fresh revelation to present to your bride in Wales tomorrow in the church service. Lord, that you would demonstratively move through her with words of knowledge and signs and wonders. Lord, we say that the revival that started 110 years ago in Wales is nothing to the one that you're going to bring. And we ask that you would allow Lisa to be a part of that and to bring the fire home to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Stay in fellowship.